This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
What is up, everybody? DeAndre Koch here for another weekly edition of the Quick Hits. And I think this one, as of this recording, is going to be fairly quick because there doesn't seem to be a ton of news in the world of travel and points and miles. So we're going to try to keep this one relatively quick this week. The first piece of news I wanted to bring up is about the Chase points boost, and that's relevant to the new changes that Chase has made to their points system going forward. And we know that they have this feature called points boost, and that has changed how things used to work. So if you've been completely out of the loop for the last month or so, or a little bit less than a month, you were aware that before, if you had a Chase Business Preferred or Sapphire Preferred card, basically your points were worth 1.25 cents per points through their travel portal. And if you had the Sapphire Reserve, it was worth 1.5 cents per point through the portal. And I've always commented for years that you want to try to make sure that you're getting at least 2 cents per point when you're using your points. And oftentimes that's going to require you to transfer your points out and not use the portal. Well, I saw a really interesting article from the points guy that really caught my attention as to the fact that Chase's points boost is kind of a game changer now. And it's got me rethinking how I'm looking at my hotel bookings when it comes to points, especially for nicer luxury boutique properties that you may not typically be able to or traditionally be able to use points if it's not a Hyatt or a IHG or a Marriott or Hilton type property. Because with the points boost, if you have a Sapphire Reserve or Business Reserve, you can actually get up to 2 cents of per point of value on very select hotels and airfare. And typically the properties that are going to allow that 2 cent per point on the boost are going to be properties in their Edit collection, which is the equivalent of Amex's Fine Hotels and Resorts. So these are going to be the much nicer properties, the more expensive properties that also get other benefits like daily breakfast for two, room upgrades at check-in, $100 property credit, welcome amenity. So very, very similar to the Fine Hotels and Resorts. Now, one of the things that has made this interesting is that I'm actually now for the first time looking through Chase Travel for bookings for my hotels, which I had never done before. A great example of this is the Fairfield Anaheim Resort near Disneyland, usually 53,000 Marriott Bonvoy points with points boost, just 17,000 Chase points. Or the One Hotel Hanalei Bay in Kauai, usually have rooms that often run about $1,000 per night, are now available for around 60,000 Chase points with all of the Edit perks. So again, this is very different of an approach because usually I would never even bother looking through the Chase Travel portal unless maybe I was going to book a hotel through them, not an airline, but a hotel that's not Hilton or Hyatt or IHG. But it's created some opportunities. And there's also, as an example, the JW Marriott Orlando Bonnet Creek, bookable for just 27,000 points on a peak night compared to 74,000 Marriott points. Now, one thing to be very clear, one Chase point is way more valuable than one Marriott point. And so it's not points, dollar for dollar even, but still this just goes to show instead of doing something like transferring your points from Chase to Marriott, which I would argue even with a transfer bonus, I wouldn't recommend, there's a lot of value now that you can get through the portal. So this has kind of opened my eyes, especially as we're looking through our travel in for our honeymoon, Fiji, New Zealand, a lot more boutique places. Figuring out maybe using some points through the travel portal could be an interesting route to go and using that Edit collection as well. And one little pro tip, if you are searching, you actually, there's a slider that allows you to filter your chase search to points boost eligible so you can find the top value options. So if you're looking in a city like London or New York or whatever it may be, you can actually toggle a switch to only have the properties that are points boost eligible. And you can very clearly see for the dates that you're searching what that points boost is and essentially the value. And you can do the math and see, is it worthwhile? I think this opens up a realm of simplicity back to points and miles, because oftentimes we're talking about transferring points and a lot of different things that can get convoluted, especially for someone newer. So the fact that someone who may be more of a rookie in the points and miles space can actually use their points with a little bit more confidence through the travel portal through Chase, I think is super helpful. Probably one of the biggest things in the points, well, not even points, in the travel world news, especially for all of us who are in the United States, is the fact that TSA is ending their shoes off policy at security. This is supposed to be rolling out at select airports and then expanding over time, but I'm seeing a lot of things that are saying that airports that were not on the list to be rolled out immediately, like LAX as an example, have not had passengers, or passengers have said that they were not required to take off their shoes. And to be very clear, this is for everybody, not just TSA pre-check. Now, other things like your jacket, your laptop having to come out, liquids, they haven't taken those options away, but specifically shoes can stay on now, it seems, with TSA. Now, if you go through an airport and they tell you, hey, you got to take your shoes off, this could be an airport that they haven't rolled out to and they haven't obviously got the memo, but haven't started to follow suit yet. But I assume here within the next few months, if not already everywhere, this should not be an issue and should help your travels if you do not have TSA pre-check or if you're traveling with someone who does not. Now, I would assume most of you that are listening to this right now, because you're in the point space, you probably have a card that pays for your TSA pre-check and global entry. So this is probably not a concern for you. But if you haven't heard the news, this is something super exciting to be aware of. And lastly, going to wrap up with just some of the active transfer bonuses that are available. There is a transfer bonus from Amex to Marriott of 20% that expires July 14th. July 15th expires a 30% transfer bonus from Amex to various Avios programs such as British Airways, Aer Lingus, and Iberia, 30% for all three of them. Of course, once you have points in the Avios system, you can move it to any Avios airline like Finnair or Qatar Airways. That all expires July 15th. July 17th has a transfer bonus of 20% from Chase Ultimate Rewards to Air Canada Aeroplan. If you happen to have an Aeroplan credit card, it actually ends up being a 30% transfer bonus. And then through July 19th, there are two transfer bonuses for Citi. One's 50% to Accor Live Limitless, and the other is 20% to Air France KLM Flying Blue. Those are both from Citi specifically. Through the end of this month, July 31st, Amex a 15% transfer bonus to Avianca Life Miles. And then lastly, Chase does actually have a transfer bonus to Marriott Bonvoy, which is good through August 15th. This is a great opportunity to go back and see, can you use less points overall with the points boost through their travel portal? I would argue that with the value of Chase points compared to Marriott points, this is not worthwhile for you to transfer your Chase points over to Marriott. But if you need 10,000 more points to finish your booking when you already have a bunch of Marriott points, this could be an opportunity to use some of your Chase Ultimate Rewards with the transfer bonus. That is it, everybody. We're going to keep this one shorter, as I mentioned. As I always like to state, I appreciate each and every one of you who listens to the show. I appreciate all the feedback. Continue to please provide it, the positivity, the feedback. I love hearing all the good travel stories that you guys are able to create through this podcast, through the news, through the things that we put out. So thank you so much. I hope all of you have a fantastic week, weekend, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.